And he calls Aaron to him. God had spoken to Moses and said to anoint Aaron as the high priest of his people Israel. This anointing oil was specially fashioned. Only ingredients that God said to put in it could be put in it. And no one or nothing else could be added. And you could only anoint certain people with this. There's a lot, so much into that. But there's only one kind of anointing oil. So he anointed Aaron, and then he anointed his sons as the priests over Israel. You weren't even supposed to pour it on flesh. They had mitres or headdresses that he poured it over. This anointing oil of God. Everything in service in the tabernacle in the wilderness had to be anointed with this and this only oil. Nothing else was to be added. Every vessel, every spoon, every part of the altar, all of that was anointed with this oil and this oil only. Because this oil separated things or people to God's service. Consecration, if you will. It set it apart. The fragrance was unique. And so if you ever smelled it, you knew that there was a priest nearby. Or the vessel of God in the tabernacle was in ministry. It's a wonderful thing, actually quite powerful. You could not go into the holy place without the anointing oil. And if someone tried, they would die. But that anointing, in my mind, cannot be compared to the New Testament anointing. There's a better anointing than the anointing that the priests received in the wilderness. Because this anointing is not poured on us from somebody else. This anointing comes from the inside out. In 2 Kings, there's the story of... And please be reminded, I'm preaching part 3. If you were not here Sunday night or last Sunday morning, you need to listen to both of those messages and because this is part 3. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there's the story of Elisha had taken over from Elijah. Elijah had been in a heaven's chariot, taken away to glory. And Elisha was now the man of God, the prophet in his stead. And Elisha comes upon a dire situation. If you want to go there to 2 Kings chapter 4, and starting with verse 1. There's so much in this. I've preached this many times and might preach it many more times because there's so much into this. For people that believe in the Holy Spirit in the 21st century, for us, there's so much in here. 2 Kings 4:1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. Now, Elisha had been there recently. Remember, caused the axe head to float. They also, the water was no good where the sons of the prophets were, cast in salt and it was purified. And so, one of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, your servant, and my husband, same person, is dead. A fresh widow. Devastating at any time. But this was a man of God who died. My husband is dead. Such a finality to that. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Think of it. He was one of them, one of the 7,000 that never bowed the knee to Baal. never went to Baal worship, refused all. He was one of those guys that Elijah maybe didn't even know about, that existed, however. He was one of the good men. And he was dead. But he did fear the Lord. Full colon. And then, and the creditor, the collector, is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And so they had some kind of a debt in place. And she had no ability to pay, obviously. And so now he had come. I don't know how old the sons were. I guess it didn't matter. But he would use their labor to pay off their father's debt. And what would happen to this widow then? What would become of her? A desperate situation. Verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Just tell me what you've got. Don't tell me what you don't have. Tell me what you've got. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house. It's gone. I sold the couch for the first month's payment. I sold the table and chairs for the second month's payment. I'm out of stuff. I don't have anything left. Except a little pot of oil, a little cruse of oil that you could hold in one hand. Not a big jug, just a little pot of oil. She said, that's all I got. Notice Elisha was not intimidated by her lack. He said, listen, this is what you do. You go borrow these vessels abroad of all these, of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, I notice something every time I read this. Thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Elisha would not be in the house. And thou shalt pour into those vessels, comma, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. She sent these boys door to door. Think of them coming to your door. Hello? No, I don't want any magazines. No, I don't want solar panels. I said I don't want solar panels. I said I don't want solar panels. I don't want a security system. No, go away. Please, please. These boys brought the vessels to her, and she poured out her oil, and she poured out. And there's a space between verses 5 and 6. It's like, well, what happened in between 5 and 6? It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt. And live thou and thy children on the rest. What an incredible thing to read about. The boys had to go get them vessels. But the unique thing about these vessels is that they had to be empty. Think of the trouble they troubled their neighbors with. Is there any vessel you can do without, even for a day? We'll have it back here soon, but just for a little time, we need to borrow this pot. So it didn't matter, friends, listen to me. It didn't matter whether the vessels were fat or skinny. It didn't matter whether the vessels were tall or short. It didn't matter whether the vessels had a nice curved little lip on them where you could pour out, or they were all round on the top. It didn't matter whether the vessels were beautiful, whether they were made out of gold, whether they were made out of silver, brass, or clay. It didn't matter. They just had to be vessels. And so they troubled their neighbors. Some of these vessels had to be filled with grain or with flour. They had to be dumped out and wiped out so they would be suitable. Some of them might have been filled with their oil, and they would have to find something else to store their oil in for a while. Maybe some were filled with water, and they had to get the water out of there. They could have been filled with all kinds. Some might have had potted flowers in them, but they'd have to take the soil and the flowers out so that the pot could be the vessel could be empty. A full pot would do this woman no good. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me this morning? A full vessel does this woman no good. It has to be empty. Pastor Jamie was preaching on it. Be an empty vessel so something could fill it. I'm going to continue that thought. And so they emptied out these vessels. Maybe they left piles behind them, what were in there. And they brought these vessels to their mom, one after another after another. It wasn't a beauty contest. The mother said, "That's not a good looking enough vessel for me to put anything in." And soon they were there in their home. It was a good thing they didn't have any furniture, because all of the square footage was filled with empty pots and vessels and whatever you would call them. Her whole entire house was filled with empty pots. I tell you, Jesus found on the day of Pentecost 120 empty vessels. Are you hearing me? You can't bring the pot or the vessel into the house unless it's empty. And unless, folks, listen, unless you and I learn how to empty our vessel, it is going to be very difficult to fill it with the Holy Ghost. We're going to have to learn how to empty that stuff. When we moved to Arizona in 1996, in August of 1996, a wonderful time to move. And we were looking for a place to stay. We had stayed for a few days at a friend's home. It became unbearable there. I had three sons and they had white carpet. And it wasn't enough to take your shoes off. They had little surgical booties that you were supposed to put on. So we moved out into a hotel. Our home for a couple of weeks was, the La Quinta Inn on I-17, which where Ed's, right across the street from where Ed's living right now. That's where we were. And we said, "Lord, Lord, these boys need a pool." So God opened the door for us to rent a house with a pool. Then we moved out of that and we bought our first home here. Didn't have a pool. It had a grass backyard. Didn't do much for us. Then we moved out of there into our current home. Didn't have a pool either. And in the 2005, 2006, real estate was going crazy. And it was an opportunity to make good money if you sold your house. The problem is somebody else is making good money, the house that they're selling you. So we said, "Hey, why don't we just stay here and put a pool in?" And so that is what we did. And I thought I might understand what a pool meant, but it... Did you know it's a baby without diapers? It calls out to you all the time. Land sakes, if the wind blows, I don't know if it's a God thing or whatever, but every leaf in the neighborhood, not my yard, but the neighborhood finds its way into that beautiful pool. And so our pool is equipped with what they call a skimmer. And pumps are pumping, and it moves the water around into the skimmer. It's a dual action thing. And if that gets full, you have to empty the skimmer. You can pull it out of there, and you can see the stuff in there. And you have to empty it. All right. So the first thing I do, don't go to sleep on me. So the first thing I do is turn it upside down. Now, I've had some quite adventures emptying out the skimmer. The worst being a dead rat. Not that long. I threw them over the wall, the neighbor. I thought their dog might want it, but I did not. I'm just kidding. I thought about it, though. Anyway, that was the worst thing, I think. And then the best, well, there is no best. So, mostly leaves and some bugs and grass clippings and that sort of thing collect in the skimmer. So when I clean it out, first thing is I turn it over, and some stuff goes into the trash. But not all that much goes into the trash. Just turning it over is not quite enough. And so then I take it, I got a plastic garbage can, I take that skimmer upside down, and I bang it against the side of the trash can, and some more falls out, of which I am pleased. I still look in there, and the slimy stuff on the sides and the bottom are still in there. And there's only one way I'm going to get that out. I got to take my hand and clean that stuff out. Crickets and bees and slimy leaves that have been in there too long. They're just not coming out any other way. And friends, listen to me. Sometimes my soul is like my pool skimmer. Some of the things that I need to get rid of come just by turning stuff upside down. Sometimes I need a little shaking up in order to get some of that stuff out of me. But sometimes I've just got to wait on the Lord and say, Lord, what has to be picked out of me that I am not really readily able to give up? Some of us got stuff in our vessel is there for a long time ago. And we just shoved it off. We just put it off in the back there. And we haven't paid much attention to it. But friends, whether you pay attention to it or not, it's still there. We cannot ask the Holy Ghost to fill us and leave stuff in the vessel. I didn't say He didn't love you. I didn't say you can't have the Holy Ghost. You can. But if you want Him in His fullness, He's got to work with an empty vessel. This is why microwave baptisms in the Holy Ghost I'm a little shaky on. And I'm not saying the way I was raised was perfect. I'm just saying they made you seek a little while. Why? God made the disciples seek a little while. Why? So we could get good and empty. So our pride could be dealt with. So these things that so easily beset us, we got to figure out whether we're ready to really give them up or not. You see, this modern age, and I'm including Pentecostal, charismatic stuff, this modern age is selling a cheap filling of the Holy Ghost, and it is not so. There's nothing cheap about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's why trying to teach somebody to speak in other tongues is nonsense. It's man trying to do God's work. If I've got to teach you, if I've got to start to, saying funny words, say the words that I say, and then maybe you'll pick up on it. That's for Babel, the program Babel. It's not for us. I want the genuine thing. I don't want to be critical. But if somebody's got to tell you you've got it, you may not have it. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, nobody had to tell me that I got it. Well, all right. More trouble for me. Brothers and sisters, do whatever you have to do to become a vessel that the Holy Ghost can fill. You know, sometimes it takes some time to get empty. Do you know that after you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can put stuff in your vessel that doesn't belong there? And as much stuff as you put in there, it lessens the power, the dunamis of the Holy Ghost in your life, in my life. I'm not preaching to you, I'm just preaching. Nobody, listen, your average churchgoer is not going to get this message. They're just not going to get it either. What on earth are you talking about? I thought I was saved. Isn't that enough? All right. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So those empty vessels were now in the house of that woman, and they're ready to be used to hold the answer of a widow's prayer. They're sitting there empty. There's nothing special about them. They didn't have a certain pedigree. They're just there in the house. They borrowed from poor neighbors and from rich neighbors alike. They're just sitting there empty. But something wonderful is about to happen. Now, can you go with me just for a minute? So you got mom and the two boys. And she's got her little flask of oil. And the first pot is a big one. It's about this high, but this round. And they're looking at each other like, maybe they're shaking their heads. I don't know. Maybe they had more faith in Elisha. They said, well, we did what he told us to do, so I'm going to continue. Listen to me. Continue to do what he's told me to do. And she tips that flask up, and whatever little oil's in there begins to drip out. And then it begins to drip a little faster. Then it forms a stream. And now she's got to be careful she doesn't tip it up too much, because the oil is pouring so heavily out of her little vessel, her little flask of oil. Now oil is being poured, and now that big jug is halfway full. And now they're looking at each other again. Go, Mom, keep your eyes on her. You don't want to spill any. But I grew up with a brother. You cannot tell me these boys were not looking at each other like, what is happening? This is amazing. Whoa. And she gets to the end of that first vessel. Now she's got several gallons of oil in that vessel. And it's like, man, shouldn't that be good enough? Oh, no. We've got lots more vessels. And she goes to the next one. And every vessel, they must have had that same feeling. I wonder if it's going to work this time. Yep, it worked for that vessel. She pulls it up, goes to the next one, and they look at each other again. Is it going to work this time? Oh, yep. It's still working. There's never a lack of supply of the Spirit of God. And as she traveled around that room, pot after pot after pot, with amazement of everyone that was filled. She had to be amazed. They were shocked. I don't know, maybe they were jumping up and down. The only time the supply lacked is when there was no vessel to be filled. Do I need to say it again? We must not allow, friends, anything to compete with the fullness of the Spirit of God. Whatever we know needs to leave our soul must go so that we can have a full portion. This is our issue in this day and age, is that we're satisfied with a half pot of oil and let rocks and stuff in the other half. And we have become satisfied with living like that because my stupid generation decided to show their parents that we could get away with stuff and still go to heaven. Instead of being strict, instead of following the holiness way, we said, let's see what we can get away with and call it good. The most stupid thing is, well, I can watch that because I'm a mature Christian. Sir, if you were a mature Christian, you wouldn't watch that garbage. You're just a liar. And you want part of the world. Let me tell you something. God does not like to mix His Spirit with the world.
He doesn't want a mixed vessel. It doesn't satisfy him. It doesn't, and that vessel does not do what it was created to do. God doesn't like to coexist with junk while he's trying to make something holy. Like he made them priests, consecrated and holy. He's trying to make me holy. And he wants to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Now we have a room filled with vessels that are full. Hallelujah. Starting at the day of Pentecost to this day, the supply of heaven has never waned. Let me say it again, the supply of heaven has never waned. It's the same power, the same infusion of the Holy Ghost. It's still the same. Those vessels full of oil, he says, set aside. Once they're full, set them aside. Honey, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you are set aside. You are ruined for this world. You can't have the fun of sin any longer. You can't go back to the same bar. You can't go back to what you were doing, what you were looking at, because you've been set aside. You've been consecrated unto God, His ways and His works. He might not call you to preach, but I'm telling you, He's got a calling on your life because you've been set aside. Why? Because you're full of Him. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You've been set aside for something. Glory to God. His power has never lessened. Down through history, we see that the oil continued to flow as long as there were vessels to receive it. We have studied some of the great movings of the Holy Ghost down through time. It seems like there's some real slim pickings some years, and other times there's been great outpourings that have taken place. Many different areas of the world, God is not prejudiced here or there. Wherever He can find empty vessels, He will pour. Let me say it again. Wherever He can find empty vessels, He will pour out. Wherever He can find a people that are sick and tired of the flesh, they're sick and tired of the world, they're sick and tired of doing it on their own, and are willing to empty themselves out before God, God will pour. Oh, don't get so excited. God always responds to an empty vessel. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Let me tell you something about God. He has never lagged in His generosity. He is never withheld when there is a need. I lived in almost half of the 20th century. And now we're a quarter way through. Not the 21st century. No, we're not. No, we're a quarter. Never mind. We're early in the 21st century. No, I'm right. I'm right. We're a quarter way through 21st century. See, I thought I was, you know, I'm not perfect, but I thought I was wrong once, but then it was a mistake. Twentieth century outpouring. It started in 1901, and it was powerful for a long, long time. I can't say with a perfect heart that it was the entire 100 years, but let me tell you, that 100 years between 1900 and 2000, there was a mighty outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. A lasting outpouring. That outpouring got us through World War I and World War II. It got us through. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And I was a partaker in that. Some of you are partakers of the 20th century outpouring. Some of you have some ancestors that very early got into Pentecost. And,
and through the outpouring of Azusa Street and went around the world and all of that and all the missionaries that were commissioned because they were empty vessels that got filled. And once they got filled, they got set aside. Some got set aside to China and some got set aside to Brazil. Some got set aside to France and some got set aside to Vietnam. Some got set aside to Fiji and some got set aside to wherever you want to think about, Alaska. But they got set aside and they went because of the outpouring, because now they were full vessels. Friends, I'd like to make sure that the Assemblies of God World Missions, we run missionaries through all kinds of psychological tests. But let me tell you, the first and foremost test is, are you a vessel full of the Holy Ghost? We don't dare go unless we are. We're spinning our wheels unless we are. We're wasting our money unless we are. So I've experienced the wonderful outpouring of the Spirit throughout the 1900s. I mean, I'm a product of that. My grandparents came into Pentecost very early. And then my parents and then myself in the early 1970s, 69 actually, were baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've been part of that outpouring. I saw the wonderful outpouring of evangelism in the late 70s and 80s where evangelism exploded, where evangelists like a Reinhard Bonnke was 250,000, 300,000 people in Africa, many of them getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. If you don't know, he would always have a night to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As powerful as affected this globe. And I am not a good enough historian to figure it out. But when you go back to 9/11, 2001, it seems like the attack on New York City and Washington, D.C., and I'm not one of those guys that pulls spiritual meaning out of everything that happens. But something took place there, and I don't know what it is, because we had a pseudo come to Jesus. It was pseudo. Oh, let's have a prayer meeting. Okay, well, where were you last week before the planes hit? Where were you then? You know, that lasted a good 2 weeks. And once we figured it out, that President Bush was going to go after the bad people. Okay, well, we can get back to business. We can bury our dead. We can memorialize them, which is proper. Then what? I pastored through that whole time. And I'm telling you, something happened that took what I was so familiar with away. And suddenly, none of the old was good anymore. We had to trash the tradition of the past in order to reach people with the new. And we threw away everything. Well, we don't respond to a platform with a pulpit anymore. We can't respond properly if you have a cross up on the wall. We need triangles. That will draw God. We need to design our sanctuaries in a certain way that will appeal to flesh. You see, I don't think God has turned His back. He's not the one turning the back. He's still looking for vessels. And it's a hard game of hide and seek. And now, I'm not telling you anything I haven't already told you. And I'm sorry for repeating myself. And so, those of us that know, we have learned how to survive without full vessels. We've learned how to make it. The creditor is not coming to take our children to be bond slaves until the debt is paid. We've learned how to get along. But we don't have the full vessels that we need to actually impact the people around us. We only have partially full vessels. And it's, friends, let me tell you something. This is from God. It's not enough. The Lord is gracious and generous, And He will fill every empty vessel that comes to Him. Don't you long? Remember the stories they would tell? And He said, Lord, we tell stories now, but most of them are lies. You don't understand. You realize television evangelists make up stories and just tell them as if they're true. Not all, but a lot of them. They're there to get your approval and happiness and, yes, your money. But we need the fullness, and I'm not lifting any man up here, but we need the fullness of the Holy Ghost. R.W. Schombach was in a meeting in New Jersey. Big crowd. And his daughter tells this story, Donna tells this story, that he was in this big meeting in New Jersey. The Spirit of God was moving. He's preaching about the power of God. And a woman from the back starts to come down the middle aisle while he's preaching. Now, wherever he was, he's all over the place. Usually carried a Bible with him. But he's preaching along. And this woman is coming down the middle aisle. Now, friends, these days we'd have security on her. But this woman's coming down. And as a preacher, if you've ever had somebody come down the middle aisle while you're preaching, you're hoping that they're coming to get saved. And there's not some other reason that they're going to come and attack you or something. Can't say it's never happened, at least verbally to me. So this lady's coming. And she gets in front of him. And so he goes, yeah, what? She goes, I'm desperate. She's as desperate as this woman. I said, what's the deal? He says, I believe in God and I've prayed, but my son is on death row tonight. It's 9:30 at night. And at 10 o'clock, he's going to be executed in the electric chair. He's innocent. I know he's innocent. He did not commit this crime. I wouldn't be here if he committed it. But they're going to kill him unjustly. Brother Schombach, will you pray that they don't send him to the electric chair? You can't fool yourself out of that one. It's like, Brother Schombach just stopped. And you think, what on earth am I going to do? I've got 30 minutes. And so he said, folks, let's just stop. I'm done. I can't preach right now. That's for sure. Would you pray with me? And the whole house began to pray. And he began to pray. Brother Schombach began to pray in the Spirit. And he felt a release in his soul that it was going to be all right. So he tells the woman, this is what he tells the woman. He says, go home, go to bed, sleep well. In the morning, your son will be fine. You can't fake that. She's going to come back. If that doesn't work, he says, the Lord spoke to me. It's going to be fine. He's going to save your son. And then Brother Schombach prayed, and he said, Lord, cause the person that committed this crime to come forth. This is 9:30. At 9:40, listen to me, at 9:40, a man weeping calls the police station and says, you're going to execute a man tonight at 10 o'clock for a crime that I did. This is her name. You would have found her right here. She had many stab wounds in her back. I'm the one that stabbed her. He gave them details that nobody else would have known. And when 10 o'clock came, they came and got that son out of his cell, not to go to the electric chair, but to free him, for they had found the real murderer. And he ate breakfast with his mother the next morning. Isn't that a wonderful story? Unfortunately, that's from the 50s. I have no idea if I'm projecting to you what I feel in my heart. That how desperate we are for the fullness of the Spirit. Now, full pots in the room are not enough. They're just pots full of oil. That's great. But taking baths in oil doesn't do much. Elisha had another instruction. He said, now take that and sell it and live off the profit of it. I submit to you today that the fullness of the Spirit is not something that you lean back and admire on how full the vessels are. But that anointing from the inside out, that fullness is to be used for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And we are to go forward and shake wherever we are, shake it by the power of God. Be so full of the Holy Ghost that people come running to you when they have a desperate situation. She knew, that woman knew she had to get to Elisha. And there's people around you, if you're full of the Holy Ghost truly, have His fullness, they're going to seek you out. We are to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that we can be used for the glory of God. We are not to sit around and compare, well, I have the gift of this and I have the gift of that. Well, you have the gift of pride, sir. Shut up and sit down. I don't want to hear from you. God's looking for a people that are not looking for credit. Peter and John, the gate beautiful. He said, what are you looking at me for? It's Jesus. It's the power of God. We have so little of it. And I know I'm hammering it. Time's up. But the power of the church is so minuscule. It's weak. And people every day are dying and going to hell because the church is not Spirit-filled. We're losing neighbors. We're losing friends to hell. We're losing relatives to hell because the church is not filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And you can say, oh, you Pentecostals, I don't care what you identify yourself as. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to become an empty vessel so He can fill it with the Holy Ghost. It has nothing to do with denomination. Nothing. Zero. Sadly, many are sitting around and admiring. Look at me, I'm full of oil. You're full of something. Why have the power? Why have the dunamis and not use it? Why have the dunamis but just leave it there for Sunday morning so we can praise the Lord better? You think that's why the Holy Ghost came on the 120, on the 3,000, on the 5,000, on Cornelius' house, on Paul? Why did He fill them with the Holy Ghost in the first place? So that this world could be changed by the power of God. We can illustrate the power of a living God amongst people. That He is real, He's real, He's real. I am not pointing a finger at you. I am asking questions. Why would the Lord give me the authority of Jesus' name if we will not extend to people that need it? The oil in the vessels is not to be admired, it's to be used. You can live off it, the power of God, if you'll let Him fill you. Come to Him. I try to read the congregation as I'm preaching. I'm not sure you people receive this. It's all right. I'll preach again. I think there's some confusion about what I'm talking about, the fullness of the Spirit, there's some confusion. You say, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. That's wonderful. I am talking about something a little more than that. I'm talking about eliminating everything that restricts the glory and power and the fullness of the Spirit. I'm talking about every grain of bitterness, offense. I'm talking about every little sin that so easily besets us. And I know Brother Jamie preached a lot on this Sunday night. What is it in me that he needs to clean out? So when I go to lay hands on somebody and pray and use the name of Jesus, I'll not hope that they get healed, that they'll be healed. There's miles of difference. I said there's miles of difference. Are you and I going to settle that the 21st century is just one of those dark centuries? Like the thousands, 1,010. Are we going to be satisfied with remembering Pentecost of old? Are we going to be satisfied looking at the archives of all of these great stories that we have had down through the ages and not get a chance to live them? I got to shut up. I'm struggling to close because I need to shut up, but I'm not. God has some of us guys holdovers that will not bow to a semi-spirit-filled life. There's some holdovers that know what it means. Heaven come down and glory filled my soul. There's some of us holdovers that know when God comes into a service and literally takes over. There's some of us holdovers that have experienced stuff. That if you've been born again in the 21st century, I'm telling you, we've seen stuff that you've never seen. We've experienced stuff that you've never experienced. But I'm saying, God is an equal opportunity filler. All we've got to do is get our empty vessels to Him and they will be filled. Jesus said it. Would you bow your heads with me? Have you ever emptied yourself before the Lord? Or has there always been a little reserve? Holy Spirit, show my folks here. Have you ever been completely empty? Take every ounce of hatred and bitterness and offense. Take every ounce of unforgiveness. Take every ounce of whatever attracts me to this world. Take every ounce of it, Lord. Take every ounce of the distractions that keep me from praying and studying my Bible. Empty me, Lord. Empty me of the desire of this world. Those are not easy prayers. But they are prayers that God will honor if you'll back it up with your action. I only have an altar call so that you can respond, an opportunity to respond. Whether you come to this altar or not today is immaterial to me. But if you're here and say, I want to be one of those that is full. No mixing, but full vessel of the Spirit of God. I want His dunamis to flow out the top of me. I don't want any room for anything else. I want Him and Him alone. I want to be filled with Him and Him alone. We've made accommodation for you here at this altar. If you'd step out of your seat and come and find a place here. We could be an emptying trough. I'll tell you that God stands at the ready. The Lord stands at the ready. He has the pitcher tipped and it's ready to pour. He's looking for that empty space to fill.